let you know, as the pastor here, I don't take that lightly. I know it's many places you could be. But I sure am glad that God has brought you here today. And I want to say I've never had a heart like I've got a heart for my home folk this morning. I'm amazed at what God has done at Liberty Baptist Church with a handful of people that want to see something done for the honor and the glory of God. And I love Him and I praise Him. If you've got a Bible with you today, the Lord has put something deep in my heart for the next few Sundays. It's found over in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. I've noticed as God has allowed me to go to a few other places that I found three things that is we all find to be very common in our lives. I want to say that within this, of the not only pastoring here, Christmas morning, I'll start 20 years with the same people. That's an amazing thing in the day and hour we live. Did you know the average Baptist pastor, their term is less than 3 years at the average Baptist church in America? I can tell you numerous of churches that are without a pastor. And I can tell you numerous churches that have a man, but they're still out of a preacher. And so I'm not a blowing no horn this morning. I'm just saying I appreciate the goodness of the Lord to let me be with the people now for 20 years. And then I want to say, secondly, in this December, me and my wife will celebrate 35 years of marriage. In the building this morning, could I see if you're 35 years old and down, would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand high if you're 35 years old and down? Hey, raise your hand up high. You don't mind at a ball game. Throw it on up there. Amen. Well, we've been married longer than y'all been living. And so that is a great accomplishment. And only by the grace of our great God. I want to say in 1 Samuel 17, the Bible said, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah, and Ephes Damon, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines." You may be seated this morning. Brother Chris, if you'd turn me up a little bit, I'm still struggling with voice. But I want to say we have some things in common of every place that we go or we've been. And here as the pastor, I've seen three things in 1 Samuel 17 that we all have a tendency to be in a battle with. Now, I don't know if you, for the sake of time, I won't read this because I want to get in to the outline and the notes this morning. But I want to say this. David found himself in one of the greatest battles of his life. And within this battle, you'll notice the Philistines gathered their armies and God gathered His. There was a giant appeared, and then you'll notice that David, you'll find that he had some family involved, because the Bible simply said in verse number 20, David rose up early in the morning, left his sheep with the keeper, took and went as Jesse commanded him, and he went forth to fight and shouted for the battle. And then he said simply this, "Now, for Israel and the Philistines that put the battle in array, army against army." And then here's a word I'm interested in. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren. I want to preach on this topic this morning on the battle of the family. Now, David had family involved on this battlefield. And I am reminded today, not only do we have one church family here, as the choir was singing this morning, I got to thinking how God honors harmony and unity together in the family of God. But that'll be another sermon. Today I want to deal domestically, or where you live and where I live, in the family environment and the battles that our families are facing. Now, I want to say that 50%, you plug in 2013 statistics on Google, it will give you the facts that 50% of marriages in America have failed in 2013. You young couples, and I thank the Lord that we're blessed with many, but I want to remind you, 50% of people your age, their marriage does not make it. So, first of all, we've got a lot of statistics against us. And the reason the statistics are so high, there are a lot of variables that incorporate those statistics. Now, I want to say that there are 6,600 divorces per day in America. And there is 46,000 divorces per week in America. Now I ask you this, if 50% of marriages in America end in divorce, then where is 50% of the population of our children at with no mom and daddy in that family unit together? I've received emails from different families of different churches, and this is what they say, Pastor, we're struggling with our family, and we can't talk with nobody. Could we talk with you and your wife about our family? I'm going to tell you, family is a real deal. It's a real issue. If there's ever been a time, sir, ma'am, if it's ever been a time that you need to give a preacher your attention for the next 30 minutes, I'd try to focus in on what God's trying to say to us this morning. And I want to say, you'll notice in this text of 1 Samuel 17, number one, there is a demonstration. The Bible said, now the Philistines gathered. It does not say, Brother Jake, then, but now. I want to remind you men something. This is not a Sears and Roebuck catalog. It is a Bible, and it's inspired, and it's inerrant, and it's infallible, and it's written for the hour of our day, now. Right now, where we live, now in Bowden, Georgia. Now in Carrollton, Georgia. Now in East Alabama and West Georgia. Right now, the Word of God is prevalent in the day that we live. Now, I want to say that you'll notice that in this great battle, there was a giant that presented himself. David didn't go looking for this giant. Now, that's another sermon. There's something, a lot of difference when men you go to looking for trouble. But listen, you can just serve God and trouble's going to come looking for you. Now this great giant appeared, and look where he appeared. He was on a battlefield. Some of you think this thing is a joke. This is the real deal. When you got in your car and you purposed this morning to bring your family under the preaching of the Word of God, I want you to realize you entered into a battlefield in your yard, in your driveway, and in your car. I'm going to tell you, it is a battlefield. This is the real deal. There are souls in some of you here, you've never been saved by the grace of God. You're going to die and go to hell in your sins because you've not trusted Christ. You better get saved. This is the real deal this preacher's preaching about. Hell is still real. And I don't give a rip what any modernist preacher's saying. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shine. And the only way you go into heaven is by Jesus. And that's a fact, Jack. Now, I want you to know there's a demonstration. You'll see verse 1 now. It's a present time. Right now, where we're living. Now the Philistines gather together. A present time. Secondly, there's a prevailing truth. The Bible said there were the armies of the Philistines. This is not a not Johnny come lately. This is not the first time that the devil has had armies against God's people. It goes way back yonder. You remember when God told Adam, there in the garden. He said, it's not good that man be alone. I'll make him a help meet for him. For him. God highly values the sanctity of the family. And I want to tell you, it's still between one man and one woman and one woman and one man. That is God's way in our Bible. Anything else is an abomination before our God. Same-sex marriage is wrong. Listen to me, young people. Same-sex marriage is out of hell this morning. And you listen to me. You was not born with them abnormal feelings. Homosexuality is a sin. And you played with sin. And you've opened the fence of iniquity. And now the sin has come into you. You were not born a homosexual. God said we were created in the image of Him. Soul, body, and spirit. Therefore, now there are great battles that are prevailing against the family unit. I want to say a present time, a prevailing truth. But watch, there's a portfolio of things. This giant had a great portfolio. Many of you, when you go and give a job interview, they'll ask you, well, what is your portfolio? What do you have to offer? Well, if you'll go to a wealth or a finance manager, you say, I would like to cover your portfolio. It has to do with things. Well, this giant in the Bible had a pretty good portfolio. And I can tell you this about him according to the Word of God. In verse 4, he had a name. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. Watch. Underline it. Named Goliath. Your giant has a name. Drug addiction, pornography, alcohol, drugs, many different things. But I can tell you this, maybe fear, maybe doubt. But you've got a giant that's coming against your family. I've got a giant that's coming against my family. And he has a name. Number two, he has a nature. In verse number 4, I want to say this. He's bigger than you are. The Bible said this. His height was 6 cubits in a span. Now that's about 9'3" to 9'9". He's a big rascal. And I'm going to tell you his nature. Not only is he big, but he's bad. Verses 5 through 8, you'll notice how he was armed. He has great armor. Let me tell you, he's a bad boy. You're not better than he is. He's been doing this a long time. Matter of fact, I'm going to drop this little thought on you. I'll tell you how bad he is. See them armies, there's such things as demons and devils. Do you realize that? A third of the angels fell out of heaven with the devil. Those are the armies of the devil. And let me ask you something. What do you think they was doing before you come along? They was bothering your ancestors. You know, we all believe in a family tree. Some of them just a lot narrower than others. Somebody say amen. Some family trees ain't got narrow limb on them. Somebody say amen right there, buddy. You can go and shake your little Baptist head up and down. But I can tell you this, these armies, these giants that you're faced with many times, they were assigned to our forefathers and their home front and their marriages, and we find some of the same things that are crippling and hurting our marriages, they hurt our forefathers. They're not Johnny come lately, they've been around a long time. They know where you live, they know where you go to church, they know what you do. And so therefore we see their nature. They're big, they're bad. Verse 8, they're bold. You'll notice he come out and he said, y'all choose you a man, let him come down to me. He's a bold, right? Don't think he won't come up in your house. Don't think he won't come up in your church. He's bold. In verse 9, he's brave. If he be able to fight with me, if he be able and to kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail over him, y'all serve me.
Boy, he's brave. Verse 10, he's braggadocious. He said this. He said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. I count them as nothing. And I'm going to tell you what. He has reason to brag because he's been the downfall of many. And then I want to say, verse 16, he's busy. That's our problem. The Bible said, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Boy, if we was as persistent as our enemy, we would be a lot better off. But I want to say there are some giants that come against our marriage, and they're right here in this text. Number one, are you ready? Am I doing okay? Will you give me about 30 minutes and let me be done with the preaching? I want to give you something. I'll try to help your family. Listen, look at your preacher. Your family and your children are counting on you to hear this sermon. Our church is counting on you to hear this sermon. Our community is counting on you to hear this sermon. Now I want to say these giants that come forth in the Bible. First of all, there will be a giant of conflict in our marriage. In verse number 9, watch this. The Bible says, if he be able to fight with me. Now the devil loves to stir up a fight in our family. I'm going to tell you something. 35 years, we've had some pretty good ones, and I'm ashamed of that. I'm not bragging about being crazy. I won't say this, Brother Wendell. As far as I lived with a mom and daddy 18 years that were Christian people, old-timey people. Mama made quilts, fried rabbit. I'm telling you, the real deal. I'm talking about in the country. I don't reckon I ever seen my mom and daddy have a fight. My kids can't say that. I wish they could. I seen my daddy one time. He had a word. He'd say, Christine. And she'd go back to making biscuits. Now, I know when they closed them doors, probably they aired some things out. Shake your little Baptist head up and down. But I'm glad my mom and daddy never got in some heated battles in front of me as their children. Megan Macy, I hate and I regret that you've seen your daddy act the way he acted when you were young children. But I've noticed this, failure ain't final. And the older a man gets, he'll learn some things. Some of us, it just takes a little longer than others. And so I'm not going to be real hard on myself. I'm just saying it's the real deal. Brother Jake, you're an older man. Brother Donald, you're an older man. And you all will have to agree with this preacher about this. Hindsight, if we could go by hindsight, we would be wonderful Christians. But I want to say in this battle, there's a conflict. There are fights. And many times I pin a few things down. Number one, watch these conflicts in your home. You see, why don't you work on what you're fighting over? Because I can tell you this, most of the time it's the same thing over and over. Now, I want to say that if I want to start a fight at home, then I know what to bring up. And so, why don't you work on what you're fighting over instead of putting so much energy in your fight? The things that are bothering you, and the things that are bothering him and the things that's bothering her, why don't you focus energy on getting those things in control and pull the energy off of the fight? Now, I'm going to tell you, fights are real. Fights are very harmful. I've never seen a fight that somebody didn't get hurt. Now, listen. Number one, fix what you're fighting over. Two, let petty things go. Little things, fights. I want to say something, sir. There are some things about her you'll never change. She is born with it. And ma'am, I'm going to tell you something. You done married you something else. There ain't no sense in you trying to change in what God's put in him. Quit fussing over petty things.
This morning, my wife, she'll just help me preach a little this morning. We had an ironing board, and she's got all kind of stuff on the ironing board. I wanted to iron my shirt. All right, I had an option. I could call her in there and say, what is all this stuff on the ironing board? Or I could simply just move it, plug in the iron, iron my shirt, and come to church. 20 years ago, I'd say, why don't you put this up? But then she could have turned around them three pair of shoes on my floor and said, hey, big boy, won't you put them in the closet? So petty things that don't matter, let it go. Nobody can be perfect. And I want to say this. If I was in submission to Jesus as a husband, it'd fix a lot of fights. Because I'm going to tell you something, sir, and I don't care what you think or what you say. I'm just going to give you Bible this morning. If you're not right with your wife, you ain't right with God. We can try to fool everybody. I can come in here as your pastor. I can have one cross word with my wife. I might as well get right before I try to preach to you. If I'm not right with my wife, I'm not right with God. Why do you say that? Because He gave us a direct commandment to love our wives as Christ have loved the church. Now, I want to ask you something right here. What has He forgiven you of? If I'm to love my wife as Christ loved, I'm going to ask you men something. Don't raise your hand. Don't say nothing. But I want to ask something. Did you do anything this week that God needed to forgive you of? So let's don't be the judge and the jury. Let's keep things in the right perspective. You know, submission would fix a lot. Watch this, Colossians 3:18. Now, there was somebody called me last night, not a member of this church. He asked me for some advice about having to get through a squabble with a family member. I want to show you something in Colossians 3:18. And this is what I told the individual. Sometimes you've got to be the bigger person. Even though you don't want to do it. How much scripture did Jesus write about forgiving one another and submitting unto Christ? And try, you know, as it liveth in you, as much as be in you, be at peace with all men. Quit being a troublemaker. Quit being a troublemaker. Now, watch this, Colossians 3:18. The Bible simply says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Watch this, as it is fit in the Lord. And then watch this, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And then children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, I want to say the great giant of conflict. If we would submit, men, I'm going to tell you, maybe the reason your wife's not submitting to you because you're not submitted to the Lord. Just a thought. And ma'am, maybe a reason that you've got some great conflicts in your home. You've not submitted to your husband, the authority, the head of your home. You say, preacher, get with it, man. It's 2014. Honey, let me tell you, my Bible's in date this morning. I'm not a male chauvinist. I'm not prejudiced. God's always been the God of authority. He's always had one pastor in the local church. He's always had people that would monitor an authority in the school system. There can only be one principal, one teacher. There can only be those in the highway that are monitoring an authority. We've got to realize something. When we go against authority, we're going against God. There's authority, and the problem is some of you don't like authority.
Some of you strong-willed ladies, you just don't like nobody. Well, let me tell you something. He don't so much have to tell you what to do. What's this Bible tell him to do? And then you get lined up with this Bible. And if he's not lined up in the Bible, don't hold it over his head. Pray for him and love him through it. Now, the giant of conflict. Has anybody ever seen the battle of conflict come to your house? I mean, it's just fights and spits and spats all the time. That's a miserable lifestyle. I mean, hey, sir, she's looking out the window to see what you look like when you get out of the truck. Oh, no, he's home. And, ma'am, he's probably sort of looking to see how you parked your car to see what kind of attitudes you got when you pulled in. Attitude means everything. There's a giant of conflict. Then watch this, verse number 9. There are giants of captivity. Look back in the text, 1 Samuel 17. Watch verse number 9. Did you notice what that giant said? He said, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants, and watch this, and serve us. You know what the giant of your marriage would love to do? Is to hold you captive to the Philistines. He would love for you to serve him instead of God. He said, boy, if you'd just be our servants and serve us. The giant of caption. Now, he loves to get you to serve him in addictions. I want to say there's a big difference in addictions and habits. Addictions is daily. Habits are occasionally. Boy, how our giant that comes against our marriages loves to hold us captive that we would serve the devil instead of to serve God. You see, it's the devil's is wanting his best for you to serve him instead of to serve God. Now, look what he said. Then shall you be our servants and serve us. Now, there's the giant of caption. I want to say, be careful with addictions. It'll have you serving something that you thought you'd never serve. Young people, listen, I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you how it is. Don't play with tobacco. It will addict you. Don't play with drugs. It will addict you. Mom and daddies, don't play with sin. It will addict you. Boy, how the devil loves to get us to serve him in addictions. And then I want to say, number 2, in abstractions. Don't get distracted with what God is wanting you to do. It's easy to get distracted. I've got some ADD and I'm eat up with it, and TNT and you name it. I got it, buddy. I got it. But, you know, I got to be careful that I don't get distracted about what I've got to do. You know what I need to do every day of my life, number 1? I need to keep my heart right with my God. That's priority. If I can't keep my heart right with God, I'm no good to you. Number 2, I keep my heart right with God. Number 2, my spouse is second. It's before my children. Some of you have got all that out of balance. You say, well, I'm just going on what's going to happen when your children leave, who you left with. Watch abstractions. I get up in the morning, I got to get my heart right with God, my life right with God. I got to be sure I'm right in my marriage. And then I got to realize about the responsibilities of what I've got with God for the day. My light that's shining, my influence. Am I trying to lead people to Christ? Am I trying to help in the kingdom that I preached about the other week? Those that came in were hired in the kingdom to work. Don't get distracted. And then I want to say thirdly in this great giant of caption, not only addictions and abstractions, but be careful with allurements. God's blessed many of you. God's blessed many of our members that are not here today. You know what? They've been allured by the blessings of God to use it on the Lord's day. Be careful. I love to hunt. I love to fish. And listen to me. Everybody needs time off. I need to take a vacation. I've not had one. I need vacation time. I know that. Everybody needs some things they enjoy. But be careful. Don't let your blessing take you away from God. You say, well, I work 6 days a week and this is all we've got on Sunday to enjoy it. You're out of balance. You're out of balance because, listen, the principle of church and God out of your life, it's all going to crash. Be careful. He would love to hold you captive to this world. And God wants you as His child. God wants your undivided attention. Now, I'm going to tell you this, the captions. Watch addictions, watch abstractions, watch allurements, watch arguments. Arguments will put you in bondage. Isn't it amazing the devil don't mess with you much till Sunday morning? Would you start realizing that in your life? Would you start realizing that the devil's going to mess with you most on Sunday morning, and it's not worth the argument? It's just not worth it. And so watch conflicts. Watch captions. He would love for you to be in bondage with something. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Young men, be careful what you look at. It could lead to a lifestyle. Young ladies, be careful. Sir, ma'am, be careful. He would love to put you in bondage. Number three. Not only the giant of conflict, the giant of caption or captivity, but the giant in verse 15. See if you can notice what it is, verse 15. You'll notice David went, returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And 16 is where it at. And the Philistine drew near. The giant of the wrong crowd. The Philistine is the enemy of God. And let me tell you something. The Philistine drew near. Be careful who you hang out with as a family. Be careful as a family who you hang out with. Be careful about bad influence. Some of you won't agree with me with this. I don't care if you agree with it or not. I'm a preacher. I take a strict stand on it. I don't believe in social drinking. Because the reason I don't believe in social drinking, the drunk one. And listen to me. If you go to a family and they say, okay, y'all come over to the cookout. All right, well, you know if there's going to be alcohol, or if there's going to be dope smoking, or if it's the wrong crowd. Let me ask you something. Why do you want to take your children in that environment? You say, well, they're family. Well, sometimes you got to draw a line in the sand with family. See, I don't want bad influence. Now, there are some things in my life that I could tell you that I've had to take a stand about, and it's cost me with relatives. So this is what you've got to decide or not. If you've got to realize this thing is a giant, and he's not there to help you. He's there to destroy you. Watch the crowd you're running with. Be careful with those of bad influence. And then watch this. Be careful with those that always have a negative comment. They create and thrive on negativity. Don't put yourself around them kind of people in your family. They're so negative about everything and you're so discouraged and defeated. You need to get that out of your life. If they're negative about everything you do, quit hanging around them. There's a difference in people trying to help you and coach you, but they're always just knocking the wind out of you and they're negative about everything you do. Chunk them. Put them out of your life. And I want to say this giant of the crowd, watch, don't make much time for those who rarely will make time for you. Don't make a lot of time for those that will never make time for you. You say, why you say that? Because they're just using you for what you got. They're a dime a dozen. Do you know how many people I could take fishing in Lake Weedow if I had a cooler of beer, a bag of weed, and a tank full of gas on Saturday? You got any idea how long that line would be? But now I ask you, now that I don't do the drugs and drink the booze and have no gas, who'll take me fishing? Those are the people you want in your life. Do you hear me? If they're hanging around you just for a leech, get out of the wrong crowd with your family. Me and my wife, we were out preaching at a church. We seen this on a sign. I loved it. I run and heard the kitchen this morning. I said, honey, you remember what we seen on that sign? You know what it said to a church? It said, let me ask y'all something. Are you a faucet or a drain? You see, you better watch them drains that you're hanging around in your marriage. If they're not bringing positive things, if they're not helping you in your marriage, you need to find somebody else to run around. Quit fooling around with drains. They'll drain your family for everything you've got. And let me tell you something, ma'am, sir. God didn't bless y'all with that job to keep sorry people up. It won't work. Amen. I don't care if they're your right-handed second cousin. We ought to help people, but God said if you don't work, you don't eat. I found this out when you leave the wrong crowd behind, the right things will start happening. Are you a drain or a faucet? Fourthly, hurriedly, verse 23, can you pick that giant out? The giant of conversation or the giant of bad words, and he talked with them. Behold, there came up, watch this at the bottom of it, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. You know what has caused me a lot of problems with the words in my marriage is the same old things I keep saying. Same words. You know this, you know we've all heard this in the country, sticking stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie. Water break. That ain't right, because you know what? A word's like a bullet. When you fired it, you'll never get it back. Let me ask y'all, men, something. How many times have I said something to my wife mad I should have kept my mouth shut? How many times have I said something to my children I should have hushed because I was mad? Words. Conversation. It's a great giant. Matter of fact, I would say it's one of the biggest giants in this auditorium is the mouth. You'll notice this in verse 23. It was the same words. I mean, he taught them to come up a champion. Boy, he's good at it too. The Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of armies. He spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Now, I want to say this. There are some hurtful phrases you need to get out of your marriage. Here they are. You ready? I'm about done. Give me 10 minutes. I'm going to be done. That's all I asked you. Conversation. Listen to me. First of all, lose these phrases. I'm busy. I'm busy. Honey, I need you to help. I'm busy. Okay. Hon, I'm busy.
Why have you got too busy to listen to the one that loves you? I'm busy. Number two, one of the great words the giant uses we need to lose is this. Not only I'm busy, but you always or you never. You always say that. You always do that. Talking about some giant words. Here's one that was in the book I like. Whatever. Whatever. Did you know the word whatever? It's the archenemy of biblical reconciliations. Whatever. Hey, Ken, you're hateful. Whatever. Ken, you're disrespect. Whatever. Here's another word you ought to lose in your marriage. Look up here, young couples. Divorce. Listen, marriage only works. Listen, Brother Dave, you and Miss Sherry agree with this. Y'all been married longer than we have. Marriage only works if divorce is not an option. If you're always screaming the word divorce, that ought not even be a vocabulary in you. You've got to purpose, young families, divorce is not an option. And I know sometimes it just has to be. I'm not hammering anybody. I know the culture in which I'm preaching. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I couldn't preach this sermon this morning. I'm just being honest with you. But I'm going to tell you something. Divorce has never been an option with me and this lady. My children's never heard that word. It's not a wholesome word. I seen the other day a billboard someplace I was preaching, and don't nobody laugh out because I don't mean this to be comical. You're going to find it comical. Please don't laugh out. Just think what I'm going to say. It said on the billboard, divorce, $300. Call me. See, they're getting rich off what God never intended. If there's 46,000 divorces a week, that's a lot of money in lawyers' pockets. You say, well, it only cost me $300. No, honey, it'll cost you a lot more than that. And look, I'm nobody's dummy, folks. Don't let this country lingo I got fool you. I'm smarter than some of y'all think I am. And let me tell you something. Divorce ought to not be an option. Now, watch this one. It's the last one of the giant of conversation. Not only I'm busy, not only you always or you never, not only whatever, not only divorce, but what about this? I wish you were more like man, how crazy. What is you? Now, this is the problem. Some of y'all say, man, look at Brother Ken. He's got shiny shoes, nice truck, keeps his vehicle clean, got on white suspenders, a tie that matches. Boy, I wish you was like him. But see, some of y'all only see me on Sunday. Right, baby? Not many of y'all seen me at my worst moment. Some of you have. I wish you was more like Sister Peggy. Just be quiet. Never say nothing. I can tell you right now, I love this family right here, and I've been with them a long time. There's been a few times I guarantee you, she's raised her voice somewhere. Amen. So be careful throwing that around. I wish you was more like. Wish you was more like. You know all that's doing? That's tearing me down.
That's not allowing me to be who God put in me to be. I wish you was like them other guys who didn't hunt and fish. It's in my blood. Leave me alone. I wish you wasn't so vocal. I know I could work on things, but let me tell you, God put a loud voice in me. Just realize what God's made you to be. Then lastly, not only the battle of words or the battle of conversation, but see if you can find this one right here. Verse 25, there's the last giant I want to deal with on the family. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man's come up? Sure to defy Israel, he's come up. It shall be that the man who killeth him, king, will enrich him with great riches. I want to deal with the giant of cash. Matthew 6, 33. Turn there. Last place we're going to go. Miss Sherry had come this morning. I just wanted to play something softly for me. Matthew 6, 33, and I'm going to try to say something, we'll be done. Matthew 6, 33. Now, watch this verse. It's a great verse to live by. A lady challenged me and this week, and I got the wrong scripture down. Seek ye first. Here it is. It's Matthew 6:33. She asked me something that Brother Mark, it knocked me back off my feet. I've never been asked this, and I'll be honest with you, I love Psalms 23, but this is what she walked up right in my face and asked me Thursday night at church. She said, "Preacher, what's your life verse?" Right here would be a good one. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Watch this. And all these things shall be added unto you, not them. Do you remember the other morning I was preaching? Those come in the first hour, and then them come in the sixth, ninth, and 11th. Brother Gerald, they got all the same. Y'all remember that? I preached the other morning. And then they murmured against the goodman of the house of the vineyard. But did you know in that same scripture, I really didn't highlight it that morning, this is what Jesus said. He said, y'all don't really have nothing to argue about because I'm going to give you what is right. Now listen to me. I got on preaching that the other morning, and going home, Miss Renee said, I've got something you ought to add to your outline would help you in that sermon. I said, honey, what's that? And she simply said this, they were all doing good until they got to looking at what somebody else had. In other words, they were content with what the Lord had given them, that penny a day, until they got to looking that the Lord was giving them the same thing they thought they'd worked harder for. And so I want to say this thing about the giant of cash. It's hard to make a living. Be frugal. Plan. Have you a budget? Listen to me, young families. If your car payment's $450 and your house payment's $1,000, that's $1,450. Gas is high, $100 a week. Now you're at $18.50. You got $100 worth of groceries a week. That's $22.50. And you make $1,500 a month. That don't add up. And some of you think that's so elementary, but you would be surprised at the people that don't have that concept. Now you listen to me. There's some things I enjoy. I want to be very honest with you and forthright as your preacher. I know it. I have to watch it. I like stuff. But I'm going to tell you, on my income, I just can't go get everything I want. My pocketbook just won't allow me to do that. So I've had to learn. The Bible says, be content with such things as you have. It means a lot to me, Brother Lee, that me and my wife is right, my children are right with one another. And I've got a clean conscience before God. I've got a great church to go to. I've got friends. What could that buy? Is there any value on that? I mean, does anybody know? And I'm going to say this too about things, about money. You may be here and very wealthy, but I want to make this statement that I've learned. You'll never know who your friends are. Because as long as you've got stuff, they'll line up by the droves. But when you ain't got nothing, you're going to find out who your friends are. And I want to tell you, be careful about chasing this whirlwind of cash. Because I want to remind you something. I started preaching when I was 27 years old. I'm 53. All right? That's what, 25, 6, 7 years of preaching. Does anybody know how many funerals I've had in that? I've never seen nobody, and don't laugh because this is serious, but I've never seen nobody with a U-Haul hooked to that coffin. When you meet God, you fixing to drop everything you've ever had except one thing. Have you got Christ in your heart? You listen to me. And you listen real good. I sat on the back porch of one of the wealthiest men in America one night. He looked out across that and he said, "Preacher, you know what?" I said, "What, sir?" He said, "I'm one of the richest men in America and I'm miserable." By the grace of God, Brother Tim, you know what I'm fixing to do? It's 25 after 12. We didn't start till 11. You newcomers, we're starting at 11, men's prayer room, 10:30. I wish you'd get in there. We'll be out at 10:45, go to church at 11 till. That's why I just keep preaching a while. But I want to say something. Preaching helps us. And listen to me. If you ain't got a preacher in your life, you need a preacher in your life. You don't need a hireling. You don't need a politician. You don't need a pup. You need somebody that'll get along with God and tell you what this Bible says on Sunday. And it wouldn't hurt you if you'd make it back Wednesday night. That's another message, the third one. You might not want to miss that Sunday. Now, I want to say this right here to try to help some of you young people. There are some things my children have seen in my life I'm ashamed of. We come from Florida one time. I don't even know. I don't think I was pastoring here. I may have been. 20 years is a long time. But I don't know. Something just flew all over me, man. It's just crazy. Just something crazy. Man, I was like a tyrant in that car. I remember we had it leased as a black four-door Seville Cadillac. My little girls are little, and they're just looking at me like, "You're crazy." And I come to myself, and I said, "What are you thinking, man? I mean, wish my kids hadn't seen. You can ask them. That's the most awful time they've ever seen their daddy. I was like somebody crazy." Boy, I wish I could say what I said about my mom and daddy this morning. They kept their battles and struggles away from their children. Your children need stability. They don't need to be tore out and insecure. Is mom and daddy going to make it? They've got enough against them in America today except a troubled home. Won't you come this morning? Realize some of these big giants in your life. And won't you realize they're there to destroy you? The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil don't want to just kill you. He wants to destroy you. Many of you got little old grandchildren. You know something? Now you hear marriages. People have married 20-something years. They just throw the towel and they're done. Where did it go wrong? Let me tell you where it went wrong. They didn't apply preaching. Won't you come this morning and realize
This is a great battle. God's not put this in my heart and my spirit for nothing. Would you come this morning?